Good morning and welcome to the How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini. Sounds like technology might not be our friend today.
You are absolutely right.
Oh, dear. Well, it's raining in California, so, you know. Uh-huh.
I have way more screens than I can deal with. Here we go. So our assignments from Friday were list the qualities of the gift you have selected. On Saturday, are these missing in your life currently? On Sunday, switching to a completely different topic, think of your most favorite and least favorite animal. Write a story about them that uses the adjectives that show why you like and dislike each. The gentle, kind-hearted dog lifted her head and surveyed the sneaky, stupid, dot, dot, dot. Can you own these qualities?
Ooh, ow.
Yeah, I confess I have not done that assignment, and I can't wait to do it.
Uh-huh, me too.
All right, so here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Marika.
Hi there.
Hello. I'm happy to be here. I love that thing.
Oh, I do too. I do too. And after.
Sherry, you're fading away. Sherry, can't hear you.
Yes, well, that's because my microphone just fell out of my ear. Sorry about that. Anyway, yes, I'm happy to be here too. What are you seeing?
Well, you know, I've been doing all the assignments. I missed some time because I was on a silent retreat for 5 days, which was fantastic. I did allow myself to do the assignments actually while I was on silent retreat, although it was with a different organization, actually the organization who told me about you guys many years ago.
Oh, lovely.
But I wanted to talk about this latest one that you guys were just talking about, the most favorite and the least favorite animal.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh, this was a fun exercise for me to do. I found that I just did the assignment. It was just like a joyful thing to do. And instead of sort of almost even analyzing my responses as I went, this one was, I actually did three different scenarios, which I thought were all kind of fun and interesting to do. And so the first one was the most favorite animal was dolphin and the least favorite ants. And the sentence was, the graceful, playful dolphin danced through the water, intelligent and free, loving and compassionate, while the ants made it their mission to enter the house, relentlessly conditioned to take over.
That is how it seemed.
And it was a lovely expose of my own inside, too. These qualities that I love about life, about being sort of dancing and playful and loving and compassionate on the one side, but from a dualistic perspective, the conversation in my head will say that, or I am, you know, sort of conditioned. I am responding
more
to
like the ant.
Yes, more like the ant. I'm responding from conditioning. So I thought that was a lovely way to see it. What I really liked though was back to the very beginning where we're doing the exercise, but we're also paying attention to the process. And what I liked about noticing this process was how easy it was to do self-inquiry when the question wasn't outwardly about me.
Yes, exactly.
It just made it easier.
Yes, which is why exploring projection is such a help in awareness practice. Right? Yeah. So wherever we are, whatever we're projecting, to be able to bring that back and see what we're projecting as a statement about what's going on with us, rather than getting caught believing that it's really true. Because if we interviewed an aunt, I feel quite confident it would have a very different perspective than the one that we would tend to project onto it. Yeah?
Well,
as would the dolphin, right? As the dolphin, yeah?
Yes, so. They have missions too, right?
But who knows what goes on with them? We actually never will, any more than we ever will know what's going on with another human being. We're extremely fortunate if we can get a sense of what's going on with us.
Absolutely, yes.
Uh-huh.
I do love that projection, and I think that it. I mean, even the reminder from this exercise served me all during my day yesterday. Just for looking at any little tiny subtle quote unquote judgment, even almost the non thought judgment.
Yes, because the spirit of inquiry that you were mentioning, when we get it, which kind of ties into what I wanted to say about happy to be here, when we get it, that there is a remarkable difference between true nature, authentic nature, that which animates us, and conditioning, egocentric, karmic conditioning, self-hate. When we really get it, that egocentric, karmic conditioning, self-hate is not what we are, okay, then we become really interested in getting every place where we can be fooled by it. So it's not that we want to go through life with all of our attention on egocentric, karmic conditioning, self-hate, because that's not necessary. We want to have all of our attention on awareness so that insights continue to inform us, right? So there's been some resistance. People have been struggling with our saying happy to be here, because they're interpreting it as, well, I'm not happy, so I can't do this. I can't participate in this retreat because I'm not happy. Well, we're not saying anything about what is going on in a particular life at a particular time. The phrasing is really accurate. I am happy to be here. When we come together as Sangha, to practice together, we have that reminder that the torture that's going on in conditioned mind is not real. It's a habit. It's conditioned. It's karma. It's egocentricity. It is not what we are. And in that getting here and being able to see that, we have a growing sense of the freedom that is available to us. Right?
Yes.
And that's what you're describing, is going through the day aware of conditioned perspective versus here.
Yes, exactly. And just actually being on this year-long retreat has encouraged me or inspired me, even in my conversations with others, with my daughters, when they're going through things. We talk about, this is our workshop today.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we, yeah. I we had a whole bunch of, I just had a plethora of problems that need solving. And these problems feel like real problems. I mean, my husband
really,
was
really,
getting
really
sick.
Real.
Really real problems, and the refrigerator's leaking, and maybe we have bad mold, and you know, and whatever, and heavy metals, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there is no end to the problems that I could be solving right now.
Yes, yes. Yes, if we frame them as problems, right? There's
yes.
no end. But if they're workshops, then there's no end to the gifts, the opportunity.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for this. It's
thank you so much.
Perfect. All right. Enjoy. And I know you will.
Oh, I will. Yeah.
Go happy.
Go happy. Go juicy.
Thank you.
Bye.
Oh, what a marvelous conversation, Sherry. And I love that part that you just said about how part of the journey in our journey of living is to be able to see those places where we are conditioned or where there's self-hate as a way of returning that back to, I forget your phrasing exactly, but back to conscious, compassionate awareness.
Yes.
Like it's a process of liberation where all of those places where we're conditioned, we basically come back to what we are rather than what we're not. And the thing that dropped in as she was talking was, you know, the projection on the ant was the conditioned desire to take over the house or whatever it is. And what we realize is that place of the ant would not think of itself that way because it isn't by nature that. And that's the difference between us and the ant, right? That there is the ant part of us that we dislike and the dolphin part of us that we like. But can we accept all parts of ourselves exactly as they are and recognize that the only thing that we're letting go of is not part of ourselves, but that process that projects that the ant, the conditioning that projects that the ant is unacceptable, but the dolphin is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that dualistic mind that is the source of all of our suffering.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's funny when you said that because conditioning would like to take over the house, right?
Yes.
Ego is aiming for that all the time. It's trying to find a way in, and if we are the house, it really does want to take over the house. So, of course, it would project that onto the ant.
Yes. Well, and to me, that nuance that you were pointing to, which is our ability to accept our ant-like nature and not identify with conditioning's projection on that aspect of us, to really clearly get that the conditioning is the conditioning, and this is authenticity in expression.
I love that. So I can go to the grocery store, right? And the ant comes to the grocery store, right?
Yeah.
My cupboards, right? And it's funny to when you just said that, to see that difference, that always, you know, well, what I'm doing is coming from this place, but what you're doing is coming from this other, we guess, evil place. And and just to step back and see that larger perspective is so liberating.
It is liberating. It truly is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Hello?
Hello, this is Jeff in North Carolina.
Well, hello, Jeff.
Hey, Sherry, hey, Ashwini, and everybody. So I have just a bite of lunch that I was finishing. there's so many things that to talk about, but one of the things that was just occurring to me that I've noticed in quite a few of the exercises, including this one, is the kind of the preamble from conditioning, where so it starts to come in and tell me, it starts to figure out how to do this exercise quickly or something like that.
And how to get through it.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what was going on. It's just, oh, this is a whole page. You know, the last ones have been all really short.
And, oh, God. And, you know, an entire page.
Right. So that's just...
It's so dramatic, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny because it has this, you know, it has this... I almost always record before I actually do the writing or drawing or whatever it is.
Good for you. Mm-hmm.
So it has this story about what's going to happen, how long it's going to take and whatever. And what I've noticed is that has nothing to do with what actually happens. So,
yeah,
you know, I just, yeah. So whatever is done is just what is done. It has nothing to do with the story about how long this is going to take. Sometimes, you know, it's the prediction is going to be short, it's going to be long, it's going to be whatever. And it has nothing to do. Some things go very quickly and some things take a long time. But it's just, I don't know that. And once there's immersion in the process, it has nothing to do with it. I mean, those two things have zero to do with one another. I don't know how to say it the way I'm really trying to.
Jeff, what I just saw when you said that is, I'm going to go to a movie, and the voice in my head says, and what's going to happen is this, and these people will do this, and they'll say that, and that'll happen, and then that'll, and I've never been to this movie. And I would realize, that's insane. And so the whole point of it is we go to a movie knowing we have no idea what's going to happen unless somebody gave away the ending, right? But in life, conditioning has us believing that we do know what's going to happen, even though over and over and over we see that that is as insane as thinking that you know what's going to happen in a movie you've never seen.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I was just getting kind of to a similar place as you started to talk about it. And because what I see in a lot of life, there's this idea that it can be predicted because, you know, I do this sort of thing Monday through Friday. You know, I go to this place, or that's what I think I'm going to do. I think I'm going to go to this place and blah, blah, blah. So there's this idea that it's predictable.
Yes. Because it usually goes that way. Right. Mm-hmm. And then we get sick. Or then the car breaks down. Or then we get an emergency call from somebody. Or then, and those are seen as, oh, God, big mistake, because that wasn't supposed to be happening. That's wrong.
And even within the things that are within the bounds, did I interrupt you there, Sherry? Sorry.
No. This is very exciting, very exciting. I'm loving this. Go ahead.
Well, even within the bounds of things that are normal, there's the different, I think what I see in it is there's a difference between the story, which is the narrative in conditioned mind, which could allow me to believe it's all the same. And then there's the actually being present to what's going on. And, you know, within that, of course, it's never the same, you know, you know, nothing is, a child comes up to me and then this happens and then we go there and it's just completely unpredictable. Even if I'm by myself, you know, there's this thought that, you know, takes me in this direction or this thing happens or, you know, I'm going way off into this tangent, but I've noticed that the things that happen, even in the way things drop in, seem to come from life, it's just so completely unpredictable. You know, how do we get from A to B to C to D? There's no way that could ever be predicted.
Yes. What you're saying that is critical for us to take and get, we don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know what's happening now. Right?
Right.
Yeah, which takes us back to the ant and the dolphin, right? Because if I'm listening to conditioned mind tell me what's happening now, then I know that it's dividing things into the ants and the dolphins. And those are ego projections. And if I'm fooled into believing that that's what's actually happening, so last week on retreat, you know, of course the thing came up about, I'm in the moment and it's horrible. And, of course, I say, then you're not in the moment. So that's that. If I think I know what's going on, then I'm deluded. We can't do that. Yeah? So we're either here, which is an endless fascination, or we're identified with somebody who's outside the moment having opinions about it. Right?
Yeah.
Simple and straightforward as that. Yeah. Oh, that's very good. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. Go happy.
Go happy. Yeah.
Thanks, Ashwini.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Jeff. Sherry, the application just quit on me, so I'm going to have to launch it again, so stand by.
Okay, well, I want to talk about something then while you do that. And that is the other thing that we say all the time for anybody who missed, why do they say go happy? It's because, if I can trust the fellow who wrote The Geography of Bliss, that's how they say goodbye in Icelandic. And I figure if people who live in Iceland can say go happy when they leave one another, we certainly should be able to.
Yeah. Well,
that's a climate and a set of circumstances that most of us can't even imagine living in. And so go happy. Yes.
Well, I think we're back, Sherry.
Okay, good.
And so I'm just going to bring up the next caller and hope that this thing works.
Good.
Hang on a second.
We will hope with you.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini, it's Jan.
Hey, Jan. It's working.
Hi.
You sound good.
Oh, well, I'm happy to be here, especially with thunder, lightning, and rain, which we hardly ever see in the Bay Area.
I know. I'm in the Bay Area, too. It is so exciting, isn't it?
It is very exciting.
And, of course,
dynamic.
We just flew back on Saturday from North Carolina, where the weather was just spectacular. So
we'll get
you know,
that.
It's very good. It's very good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I want to just what was happening for me in the conversations this morning is sort of the connecting me between the two assignments. I mean, the assignment from the series of assignments on page 29 with, you know, ending with list the qualities of the gift and then going into the projection exercise. And what Ashwini mentioned about accepting, you know, in the projection took me back to that previous page or assignment because what I had chosen was conscious compassionate awareness. And the main quality for my picking it at the time was acceptance. Full acceptance, because that's what I see is so often not available, not there, and that's what I'm aiming for. That's where I see freedom. And so when she pointed to that, and I look at the projections, I look at where I wasn't even doing the exercise on, you know, the animals, the critters, that there wasn't even acceptance at times. I watched how in the process, like the critter I picked, a squirrel. Oh, what are people going to think if you give bad characteristics to a squirrel? And just, you know, it played
what
out.
What kind of a cruel, hateful, horrible person would you be?
Right, and really? Then, you know, I mean, it becomes very clear that we're working with, you know, conditioning and all you know, the projections that all that we experience when we're in that conditioned place. And, I mean, I wrote down the word creepy, you know, the creepy squirrel snuck the fruit, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's exactly what conditioning does. It is creepy, and it does sneak in, and it does take the fruit, so to speak.
Take what doesn't belong to it.
Yes, and so I just am so appreciating the exercises, the process we get to go through and what we get to see in that, but also then the discussions that just enhance that, which is exactly what happened to me this morning.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Jan, I'm reminded when you laid that out. So one of the things that came up on this retreat, which often comes up from folks, is, okay, what do you do with Hitler? You know, with your conscious compassion and awareness approach and moving into true nature, and there's nothing wrong, especially, you know, that's what about Hitler? Which is, to me, what makes this process just critical.
Yes.
Critical. That we understand that if we didn't have those qualities and characteristics that we are going to project onto a Hitler, we would not believe. Now, I'm not saying Holocaust denial. I'm not saying that. We would not believe that a human being would behave that way.
Yeah.
But we do know it. We know it. Then, of course, what ego does next is say, yeah, but even if I have those characteristics, I don't act out of it. Well, that's where we say thank you rather than feeling somehow superior, because I didn't make that choice. You know, I didn't make the choice to be somebody who doesn't want to harm other people. Right? It's just, it's incredible good fortune.
Yes, and what was dropping in for me is, and we can have compassion because we know the struggle that it takes at times not to make that choice.
Yes.
I mean, it's what we're up against. If we haven't been up against it, and we all have, and we know what it takes to come through it without taking the action or the...
Go ahead.
No, just that it brings that compassion. Just that.
Yeah.
That invokes the compassion that, can you imagine if you were Hitler? I mean, I mean, it doesn't matter. We can go there in our own experience of the hell of that. Yeah.
Yes. Well, and the last connection I hope we'll all look at is, most people, I'm going to go out there on a limb and say most people allow egocentric karmic conditioning to do to them what they would find horrific if they watched somebody like a Hitler do it to somebody else.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, God. Yeah, yeah. So it's so... I think projection is just possibly the biggest of all keys in getting to conscious, compassionate awareness.
Yeah, and I have to say, with that in mind, I was so grateful for this exercise. I mean, it could have been any time, but that it came when it did, because I realized that I've been bamboozled more often than I'd like to admit with not recognizing projection. And so terrifically grateful for being reminded once again.
Yeah, good reminder. Thank you, Jan.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Go happy.
Bye-bye. Go happy.
Thanks, Jen. And, you know, Sherry, we're almost at the end of the show and not enough time to bring another caller in. But the place that conversation took me to is a place that I personally struggle with, and I project a lot of people do, which is, you know, in the non-separate reality that you're constantly pointing us to, there is nothing that is unacceptable. It includes the horror and the struggle not to act out from that horror, you know? And there's a way in which that only something outside of life would step out of it and say, that was too terrible.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, in fact, you said on the retreat, it's clear that everything in life is acceptable to life.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yes.
It wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I would think that the conversation you had with Jeff or earlier, which is to point to the places where our practice is to look at where we won't accept life as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And be required, if we choose to accept life as it is, no matter what. And in my experience, I can project that sometimes it takes rather difficult circumstances to completely surrender to life as it is, because there is no other place to go.
Yes. Yeah. It is the religious experience, right?
Yes,
thy will
it is
be done.
Completely. Thy will be done.
That's where we're ultimately going to go, because we have no choice.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's no hurry. We can suffer with this for, you know, as long as we need to. But just to me, the importance was where we started out the conversation with the happy to be here, is continuing to realize that this suffering is happening not because life is suffering, but because ego wants to be separate from life, circumstances other than what is.
Yes,
that's how suffering happens.
That's right. Resistance to being here for whatever it is.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
Whatever. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry. That brings us to the end of the show and our assignment for today, which is, if money were no object, where would you go, with whom would you go, and what would you do? Record and listen.
Wow. If money were no object. Whew. All right. Very good. Thank you. Happy. Treasure yourselves.
Thanks, Jerry.
Bye-bye.